WEEI Afternoons coming into the 4 o'clock hour. That means it's 4 o'clock football time, but we do have some callers that want to chime in a little on our Red Sox celebration talk. Never knew. The beauty of radio, you just never know what people want to react to or talk about. So let's go to John in the car regarding our Sox celebration talk. What's up, John?
Hey, I'm glad you guys brought this up because I've been thinking all season, it looks like the charade symbol for a movie.
Yes,
like it's a
there
title,
it is.
Two words, yeah. Movie.
Movies.
And I'm like,
that's a deep party pull from the 70s.
I can't imagine they're charades players.
That's
no,
it.
I can't
that's,
imagine.
Yeah,
I'm
like, that's what it is, my man. Great call.
All right, thanks for the call,
John. I couldn't, I was like, the charade, you know, movie.
Yeah.
When you say, yes,
the last
thank
time you.
You
had a good old-fashioned game, it's been a minute since I had a good old charades party.
I haven't had a charades. And charades was like, that's what they did when you were poor. Like I was. You played charades.
I'm a big board game guy.
So, that's what parents used to do, like in the 70s and 80s. Like there'd be charades parties,
Monopoly can
followed
go screw
by handles
itself.
Of gin, and then people cheating on each other.
Yeah. The
hold on, Teddy. Can you expand on Monopoly can go screw itself?
It can
real
go
quick?
Screw.
Okay. What?
Same. Monopoly can go
worst
screw.
Game
it takes
ever.
5 hours.
It's, yeah. I don't get
all
it.
Not if you
it's,
play it right.
It takes forever. What is awful.
I don't get the. You know, seriously. I hated Monopoly. It never made sense to me. I couldn't understand. If you need like a PhD to play a game. Then it's probably not a good game.
Buy hotel. Yeah. Well, there goes our idea for WEI Afternoon Hotels.
Well, good news is at 5:30 you can show your brains in Quiz with Stiz.
Hey, Trivial Pursuit.
As
that's
you look
what
to
was,
stay
was,
undefeated. I love Trivial Pursuit.
It's my
Trivial
favorite.
Pursuit's
it's a great
fun game. Because they're
I
all well
like
written
pie.
And there's always clues in the question that
guys
helps
ever
you
play,
answer.
Guys ever play Cards Against Humanity, the inappropriate adult version? Outstanding.
I know that it was a hot game for a while. I just never got into it, man. Never played it, so I don't know what I was missing out on.
All right, Jim in Northampton, what are your thoughts on the Sox celebrations?
Okay, quick three points. The celebration, they were doing that stupid celebration when Devers was there, so it's nothing new. I absolutely hate it. Act like you've been there before. Get a base hit, get a double. Don't do the stupid thing like you're in Little League. They could be down 7 runs, they still do it. And my third and most important point is if this was back in the good old days when you had Bob Gibson or Nolan Ryan and one of the Red Sox players did that stupid gesture after getting a hit, the next batter would get a fastball to the head. and the batter that got on base that did that stupid gesture, next time he was up, he would get beamed. And every time after, Bob Gibson, Nolan Ryan would drill him. That's what we need. They need to act like they've been there before. Every old-time baseball fan like me hates it when the NASA camera shows them doing that stupid gesture. Get a base hit, act like you've been there before.
Thanks for the call, Jim.
I just got to tell you.
That guy's favorite
seems like
receiver.
A lot of fun.
Well, I bet his favorite receiver is Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, no.
I feel like Jim just it doesn't quite understand that he's not the target audience anymore.
No.
And they're not targeting you, Jim. Sorry.
Also, guess what, Jim? It's not the era of Nolan Ryan. It's different
a new
era. Because guess what? Pitchers also do things now. Have you ever seen your closer, Aroldis Chapman, stare down every guy he strikes out? In the old days, the other team's pitcher would have beamed his batter. And, like, it's a different time where they're trying to be entertaining and have fun.
Who was it? It was E-Rod who walked off the mound to...
Yes.
Yeah, but that's different than doing it every time you get hit. Now, I will say, don't other teams have their own little celebrations for the same thing?
Almost all of them.
So I feel like if everybody's doing it, Jim, I hear you, man. I'm old school, too. But I think that's a thing for every team in major leagues is when you get on base, you have some gesture that you have towards to the dugout.
If you watch more baseball, Jim, and just watch doubles, just focus on doubles. When guys land at second base, they all do something.
Yeah,
it's almost.
But what's the
say,
difference between like football players? Like if they catch a 30-yard pass, or you know, I guess a touchdown is like the pinnacle. But there's a lot of football celebrations. It's, no,
that's what we
they
should
encourage cellies.
But
now.
It's
they
older.
Run down and do the camera, and they all get together.
Football's been celebrating since the 70s,
but
baseball
but
hasn't.
I like
baseball's
that,
added it lately.
I like that though. It's you should have like a one celebration for if you just get a single one for a like in football if you get a first down for 10 yards you don't get up and do like the you know the electric wave
well, no,
right
somebody just does like the first
you do
down
the first down
wait I be, Ted because it was we talked about it a ton on Monday because I had gone to the game on Sunday. What do you think about the whole phenomenon of the Savannah Bananas and doing that energetic crowd fan loving kid enjoyable dancing showboating style of sports?
When it's in that environment, I have no problem with it. Like,
And some of that is going to seep over into regular baseball
or
sports.
Andy, you know what it is? In a lot of ways, it's like nonviolent baseball wrestling. Like, it's a sport. Technically, it counts, but it's just a show.
Right. Oh,
they're
it's 100%.
It's an exhibition show using a professional sport.
And a one-off. Or a two-off. And then it moves to the next city and sees the next crowd.
But Jim is the perfect example of the old guard trying to work with the new guard. There's older
who
managers.
Listens to baseball on
there's,
your phone.
There's old managers that don't like how, you know, after a guy hits the ball, he flips the bat.
Right.
And so remember, so we've had to work through this.
How about we worked through one of the greatest players that's ever played the game of baseball? There were a lot of people that had issues that Ken Griffey Jr. wore his hat backwards for batting practice warm-ups and
that's
things
disrespectful.
Of that.
You still can't have a beard on the Yankees.
Yeah.
They actually updated that. You can have a well-coiffed beard or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, you can
it.
Now?
If it's manicured, you can do it. But my point is, like, it's just, it is generational. And I played high school football at a place where you did not celebrate touchdowns. Act like you've been there before and will be there again, was the way it was expressed to you by the guy who had coached for 50 years. Like, that's how it was. You just didn't. There were no single-digit numbers because we're a team and nobody wears one. Like, and then it evolves as time goes on, and it's just a different world. And if we're being honest, I like it. Like, baseball needs a little more energy.
It does.
They need a little bit more character.
The alternative league is selling more tickets for like 20 games than MLB is selling for hundreds.
But
there's a reason why. The people are telling MLB, speed it up, make it fun, engage the crowd. This is what they need. This is definitely what they need.
Okay, but we're not doing 4 o'clock football on celebrations. That's another one we can do. Best football celebration, sure, whatever. But today we decided we were going to rank the Patriots' position groups. So quarterback, running back, tight end, wide receiver, you know all the groups. And we just mentioned PFF had the cornerback group as fifth best in the NFL, or secondary group, secondary.
Overall secondary.
Fifth best in the NFL. So who wants to start? Ted Johnson, how about we start with what is your worst position group on the Patriots? What did you have dead last in your rankings?
My dead last was offensive line.
Ooh.
Was dead last.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. It's
That's a bad signal.
I don't think that's any big surprise. They got Will Campbell. You know, I don't know anything about Garrett Bradbury other than he's not a very good pass blocker, right?
Based on the numbers.
He can run block, but he can't pass block. So that concerns me. The guy literally right over the quarterback. Mike Onwenu. I don't know which one am I getting. Am I getting Mike Onwenu from 2 years ago or the one from last year? So, and, you know, you like to think Morgan Moses is in an upgrade. So it's a better overall offensive line than it was last year. But it was a horrible offensive line last year. So it's still, even with all the additions, to me, it's still probably the worst position group on this team.
Yeah. Fitzy.
Boy, howdy. Like, no, not even close.
O-line?
Oh, 100%. Now, you may be saying, like, yeah, but this wide receiver room stinks. And people keep putting that in the bottom quarter, bottom eighth of the NFL. There is literally, Andrew, not a single certainty on the offensive line amongst the proposed starters. Is Will Campbell ready to play left tackle? Is he a guard? We're not sure yet. Can Cole Strange beat out Laydon Robinson or Ben Brown or Jared Wilson? We're not sure. Will Garrett Bradbury be able to hold off Cole Strange or Ben Brown or Jared Wilson? Is Mike Onwenu going to get over 400 pounds and return to his all-pro self from a couple years ago? Is Morgan Moses going to hold up at the age of 35 at right tackle on this team? I have no answers to any of those things. The most question marks, still the worst group.
So, as usual, I am a little bit different than the rest.
Oh, yes, genius walks alone.
Not by a lot, though, because I actually had the offensive line.
You couldn't even finish the sentence.
I actually had the offensive line ranked ninth. My 10th spot, I went with the specialists just because I have a lot of concern with a rookie kicker.
I just went 1 through 9, so it's basically you're agreeing with us.
Okay,
it's the worst.
I'm worried about a rookie long snapper. Despite what I read from Mike Reese that he's the greatest long snapper in the history of long snappers, and his like time to the holder is like 3/4 of a second faster than anybody else's, whatever. Rookie kicker, rookie long snapper, I have questions. And then I went offensive line for my 9 spot. Okay. 8th, I'll go next. Fitzy, you mentioned it. Like, I still think the wide receiver position is down there.
I got him at 8.
I look at the wide receiver position, and we've talked about this. Like, if it all goes right, it could be much higher than this. I'll acknowledge that. But if it all goes wrong, or even just if it kind of all goes the way it went last year to some degree, it's one of the worst positions on the team. And the one guy you hope is the good guy is coming off a torn ACL at the age of 30, and when is he ready? When's he at his best? When's he at full speed? Major question mark. So wide receivers,
still near the bottom of the team.
It's number eight for me out of nine. And so there, look, both of those position groups, offensive line and wide receiver group, was the worst last year.
Yeah.
And what does that say? That it's still the worst. And they've made upgrades. That I just think it shows you how bad it was last year. I still think those are the two worst position groups on the team a year later.
This is a big question that needs to be asked. Aside from Steph Diggs, still recovering from a non-contact ACL injury, how many of the wide receivers on the Patriots would make other rosters?
It is a very good question.
One or two, depending on
none
health,
are locks.
Depth.
No. None are locks.
None are locks on this.
None are There's locks.
No, can you can't actually. I'm so glad you said that because I think the
DeMar
only lock
Douglas
is like
is a lock.
Matt this, Collins. No.
Lock.
I'm talking about for other teams.
Yeah. You're talking about this team. You said they're not locked for this team.
No.
He just said that.
Which of these guys
would
make
other
teams. I don't
know. I can't guarantee you. Aside from
is a lock.
Pop Douglas and Kyle Williams are the only two I would certify.
I think Matt Collins is
Matt Collins.
Yeah. For this team. Yeah, for this team.
What does that say?
And Steph Diggs, I think, is a lock.
Right. So three, maybe four.
Yeah. But it's not a good group. I always like to say, just because a group is competitive doesn't mean it's good.
You can have a lot of competition with bad people. Your boy Jalen Polk,
I don't think there's a shot in hell he makes it. There is a shot in hell. Yeah, that was a little harsh. Okay. There's a shot in hell, but it's an uphill battle. Okay, Fitzy, what's up next?
Okay, well, see, I went specialist at eight, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we all have the same groups of positions near the bottom. So let's flip this around. Let's go the other way. Let's jump up to the top of the list. Ted Johnson. What do you say is the best position on this football team?
I got the top three positions all on defense. I got the cornerbacks at number one. I have the defensive line at number two, and I have the safeties at number three.
Wow.
Do we share a brain?
Well, maybe.
You guys want to go do karate in the garage together?
It's the craziest thing, because I have the same. Do you have the same top
no,
three?
No, I don't, actually. Oh. My top three. Okay. So Ted, once again, yours?
Yeah, mine's cornerbacks number one, and then I got D-line number two with safeties coming in at number three.
Ditto.
Okay. I have cornerbacks number one, running backs number two, defensive line number three. I think we are sleeping on how good this running back room can be.
If they hold on to the ball.
Ramondre Stevenson looks like he's in terrific shape. Yes, he does have to work on the ball control issues. Did well his rookie season with Josh McDaniels. Travion Henderson, we all know as the leader of the Travion Henderson Appreciation Society, I think the sky is the limit for this kid. Antonio Gibson, underrated wideout / running back, a hybrid that I think Josh McDaniels might have a field day with. And this Lan Larison kid led all of the NCAA. Come on, allow me to hype up my undrafted guys. You know how much I love a running back with a stash and a perm, let alone somebody who led the NCAA in all pass catching stats. Andy, come on now. Plus, your boy Lampy, the fullback, he's making the team, and he's going to have an impact.
So Lan Larson gets him the two spot at running back. But you're going to ignore the $190 million invested at the defensive tackle position because guy's got a perm and a mustache?
Because I gave them three. No, you want to know why? Milton Williams and Christian Barmore are great. I have Jeremiah Farms, Jaquelin Roy, Kyrese Tonga. It's Jag Stiff and who the rest of the way around the defensive line.
But the problem is, for me, at the running back position, and Ted, you and I touched on this yesterday, could there be upside? Absolutely. If you get the best of Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson is the budding superstar that everybody wants him to be. Okay, at the end of the year, that position may be really highly ranked. But if you get the guy who fumbled seven times last year and looked like he got worn down and lost a little something, and maybe that's why he appears to have gotten in better shape and lost some weight. Maybe he feels like he did lose something last year and was kind of heavier, less quick, taking hits, whatever it may be. There is some reason to be skeptical about that position. There really is.
And you can argue as well, okay, the way that I approached it was like physically the defensive line. I wasn't thinking about the edge rushers. If you want to lump them in there as well, then yeah, you could easily argue that those should be flip-flopped as well. But I was just focusing on those five guys. And while the $196 million should be lauded at the same time, I got questions around them.
All right, so I gave you my one, two, and three.
Yeah.
All on the offensive side, or excuse me, defensive side of the ball. Cornerbacks, D-line, and safety. And then for 4, 5, and 6, they're all on the offensive side. I have the running backs at number 4.
Okay.
For all the reasons that Fitzy already went through. And
Thank
then
you.
The tight end group, which I think is a little bit disrespected, I think, because I think as a whole, they're pretty good. I don't think they're best tight end.
You know, Hunter Henry maybe is you're not going to talk about him as a top 10 tight end, but I think the group is a better group than people think. So I got them at a five, and then at number six, I got our quarterback, Drake May. So four, five, and six are all offensive positions.
I also have the quarterback at number six, which I don't know if that's good or bad in a quarterback-driven league and the year two jump. And
for a guy that was 1-9, I think it's pretty good.
It's probably fair.
Yeah.
It's probably pretty fair. And the tight end position I do think is a little disrespected, underrated, whatever it may be, just because they don't have a huge upside. But if you ask me to, if you ask me to, like, who would you trust with their life to actually do their job in any given game? I feel like Austin Hooper and Hunter Henry are. I'd feel pretty good about it. Maybe the safeties I'd put in that group, because Kyle Duggar, Jabril Peppers, should be a good safety group.
Yeah.
The Epps guy that they brought in, so that's similar to tight end. I feel like as a group that you could trust. But I think this is an interesting exercise to kind of put things. And the worst part of this. If you're being honest, the worst part of this as a Patriots fan is what you said. The worst positions on the team last year are still the worst positions on the team. Like,
no matter how much work they did, how much roster flipping and drafting and signing they did, we still walk in with so many of the same questions as last year. That just shows you how bad and shame on us those teams were the last couple of years.
Which is why up next here, we're going to talk about grading the offseason. We all get a little giddy throughout the process. Oh, they won March. They won April. The Patriots are great. Vrabel, Elliott Wolf's doing the job. All of this. And yet, we just ranked their two biggest positions of need heading into the offseason as their two worst positions on the roster. So ESPN has graded the offseasons. We'll see if you agree with what they think Mike Vrabel and company did down in Foxborough. We'll talk about that next year on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, with that nice white crisp hat you have on, tell me what's trending.